Well, welcome to church tonight, friends. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Chris. My wife, Angela, and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved City Church, and we are just so thrilled to have you with us in the room tonight. We're in a message series called Real Talk, and what I've been doing over the course of this message series is being really, really real with you, I hope, as we go through this Real Talk. In an effort to keep it real, we are leaning in to learn what it means to keep Jesus at the center of our lives in a selfie-centered world. Keeping Jesus at the center of our lives in a selfie-centered world. And to accomplish this, we're talking about five things that are interfering in your life, things that are in contrast to biblical values. And so often, I'm finding that these five things that we're looking at over the course of this series are often a result of our social media-influenced life. And these five things that we've been talking about, and we're going to continue to talk about, the first one is discontentment. And then we talked about intimacy and authenticity and compassion. And we're going to get to, and rest is what we're going to get to as well. So now, I've been using social media as a starting point over the course of this Real Talk series. And if you're like, oh, great, I'm not even on social media, so I might as well just get up and walk out. How is this even going to relate to me, right? Hey, listen, I still believe that the issues that we are continuing to confront will still speak to you whether you're on Facebook or not. Is that okay? Because you're still wrestling with these very same issues in some way or another. So if you are not on social media, I'm still talking to you tonight. And you know what? I'm going to be real with you tonight too. Is that okay? All right, good. I love honesty and I appreciate the value of social media in my life. I can see the highlight reel of my family who are spread across North America. I was talking to someone earlier and I said, I've got my family in Texas and California and Denver and Prince Edward Island in Alberta, all over the place, right? And I get to see their highlight reels of their life and they get a new puppy or a new house or out for a date maybe and the kids are growing like crazy and I only get to see them every couple of years, right? It's insane, but they're spread across North America and it's hard to, so I get to check in on their lives and say, you know, give them the double tap, right? We're loving from them from thumb to thumb instead of belly button to belly button, like we talked last week, or from face to face. We'd rather face to face, unless you're married, by the way, that's belly button to belly. Anyways, long story short, feeling a sense of connection, and I can comment on the post and like it and even ask questions, throw in some fire emojis in there, whatever it might be, right? Send some love. Right? And this is what I love about it. I get to also, you know, I can share my church's posts. I love my church, hashtag love or beloved life or whatever it might be, and follow my favorite restaurant. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that looks so good. Oh, just a little bit of drooling on the way there. It's meant to be a connection tool is what it's meant to be. And at the same time, with all the great opportunities that technology provides, there are some unintended downsides as well. Unintended negative consequences of social media and differing forms of technology. YouTube might be your thing. Netflix might be your other thing. Whatever it might be, right? And so what I want to do is keep it real with you tonight over the rest of the series and have some real talk and raise a few of these issues and contrast these real issues with biblical values like we've been doing. And friends, I truly believe that this series is going to be a very powerful message series for you to help you transform your life in Christ. Put him back in the center of your life and in this selfie-centered world, right? So now, before we dive into today's message, let me tell you about next week. I have something that has been weighing on my heart to talk to you about, and that's next week. We're going to talk about compassion, and we're going to look and see specifically how social media and technology are actually causing people to care less about other people. Like, we're experiencing compassion fatigue, right? Which honestly, as followers of Christ, this is totally and completely unacceptable that we would not be able to experience compassion and be able to show compassion towards other people. God calls us to something way higher. So, and I can't wait to talk to you about that next week. So, but diving in today for our fourth Real Talk, we're going to be talking about authenticity. Authenticity, big word, right? The one none of us really probably like, just like comparison. But how do we become authentic in a selfie-centered world? Hang on, I haven't done my Sunday selfie yet. You ready for this? Jeez. Oh man, it looks so good. Lanny looking sweet. I think I might have to post that later, right? Authenticity. So if you're not involved in social media, selfies is what I just did. That's when you take a picture of yourself. And this is the kind of a newish term in today's world for us, maybe. And I didn't have selfies growing up, right? Like, I had a Polaroid, it was my first camera, and you could turn it on yourself and you'd have to hit it a few times before, and you're pumping out those little pictures and you're like, oh man, I'm way off left here. What's going on here? Right? Some of you didn't have cameras that you could turn on yourself either, or didn't have selfies as part of your world. And now it has amazing momentum. In fact, I just looked this up this week, like on Friday when I was looking at on Instagram alone, friends, there are 451 million posts with the hashtag selfie. 451 just on Instagram alone, right? I mean, Instagram's only been around for a week, as you might know, right? So crazy. And I know for the younger ones, it may be difficult for you to understand that there's a generation also in the room who have never turned a camera on themselves. Like, it's just not something that you grew up with, right? And that's, I understand. But this is still a thing today. And we're learning this. And the reality for the older ones is that many actually hated getting their picture taken. I remember trying to take a picture of my grandma. She's like, don't you dare take a picture of me. I'm like, why, grandma? I only see you every 2 years. I want a picture of you. Right? She hated getting her picture taken. No pictures in the house of family or anything. Like, I don't know what was wrong with grandma, but why, grandma, want your picture, right? Some of you will even remember, like, the worst day of the year was what? It was picture day at school. Whoa, yeah. Wow, I still laugh at my school pics and laugh at my kids' school pics too. Like, what was I thinking, right? That haircut? Who cut my hair anyway? My goodness, mom. But it was like the only day that I would actually bring a comb to school kind of day. It's picture day, right? Wear a button-up shirt, dress pants, which you couldn't see anyways in the picture. And then you'd walk into the gym like so hip with your button-down collar and your hair combed over, right? Some tacky backdrop set up in the gym with a classy stool in front of it. And you sit there looking off into the future. Right? Like, just lovely. I love it. Make fun of it. I mean, your hands folded, cheesy smile. And you only had one take. I mean, traumatic, right? When I look at those, that picture would define my entire sixth grade year. Who's this dork, right? We'll take a picture of ourselves, right? And it would take like weeks, maybe even months for you to finally get it in the mail. If you remember, some of you don't, if you're under 35, you don't even know what I'm talking about. If you could even afford their stupidly priced picture packages, right? And opening the envelope and you're like, ah, wow, why do I look like I'm cross-eyed? What was I looking at anyways? Oh man, you know, like, anyways, those traumatic pictures. I thought I'd comb my hair better than that. Things have massively changed for us over the few years that we've been around. Now we are a selfie-obsessed culture, and we like to take pictures of ourselves. And then what do? We filter it, we adjust it, crop it. And if you're over 35 and don't know what a filter is, let me help someone out. A filter basically is where we can change the color of it. We can make it black and white. We can soften it, brighten it, take away the double chin, whatever. Take away the red eye, maybe even the zit on my forehead. I can edit that out. Like, look at me. I look amazing. That's how you filter. That's how you edit your photos, right? Man, I remember back when we were kids, like, you had to pop that zit and hope for the best. And if mom was with you, she might even just do a little powder on there just to help you out a bit before school picture day. You're like, should I pop it or don't I? Now I can just edit that thing right out. And we can filter our lives and show people that this is the filtered me that I want you to see. This is the filtered me that I want you to see. And the heart behind this message today is this: the more filtered our lives become, the more we show others the me we want them to see, the more difficult it is to be authentic when we live like this. Like, culturally, we are becoming so trained and conditioned to filter it and the picture and edit it and to perfectly, of course, then caption it, because, of course, the caption matters, right? You've got to have the right hashtag there. I know if you're over 35, this doesn't make sense to you, but I'm talking to all of us tonight, so that's okay. We want them to see the me that I want them to see. And then I've got to be so brilliant in my caption and original and clever, but like not too clever because that might be cringe, right? But it's got to be right. And at the same time, not look like I'm trying too hard. And then we send out to the big world so the rest of the world can do what? So they can affirm me and affirm us. And like, who are we showing them that we are? Now, last week we talked about three different ways that technology is impacting relationships. And we've got to acknowledge that there are so many good ways, like beyond a shadow of a doubt, actually, what's possible now for blessing relationships. It's truly amazing. And at the same time, there are some unintended negative consequences to social media and technology. And we're talking about a few of those. And here's one that I want to highlight today if you're taking notes. How is technology changing relationships is the question we've been asking through this series. And I've got this for you, and I want to write this down. People are starting to fear. Drew, I think I have this for a slide for us, so you can write this in your notes, because I'm hoping you're taking some notes. I want you to learn something and take something home with you so you can share it and talk about it in your city groups this week. People are starting to fear and avoid unfiltered communication. Literally, we're starting to fear and avoid it. Unfiltered communication, like there's a fear and avoidance. For example, we are so used to being able to edit what we say and filter what we show that if we don't have that luxury, a lot of people are very nervous in talking. In fact, the reality is there are a lot of people that you'll know this is true, that we're creating online personalities, that who I am online is different than who I am in person. Look at who I am. We're portraying this alter ego, this alternate identity. Showing my fake self, trying to get you to believe that's who I really am. And if we take it to a deeper level than that, we begin to see how people are now very afraid, and a whole younger generation, many are uncomfortable in a conversation that they cannot control. For example, this is really normal now. The phone rings. What do? We pick it up. We'll look at the phone. I'm in control of that moment. In control of that situation, right? And I decide whether or not we want to answer it. And when I was a kid, when the phone rang, it sounded like a whole herd of elephants were released in the house. The whole house went to answer the phone. We're like, hello, McDonald residents, right? And someone else was picking up the phone upstairs, and you can hear them breathing still to see who it is. Like, we were not scared at all to figure out, like, who's calling me? What, someone's calling my house? I've got to find out who it is. But now we're afraid to answer the phone sometimes. We send it to voicemail, right? Like everyone was so impressed with the fact that someone was actually calling us. I want to be the first one to pick it up. You had to pick it up to see who was calling you. It was intriguing. I was curious, right? And you were willing to find out what they were going to say. And what questions they were going to ask. And you were unafraid to approach that conversation. And so we learned how to have unfiltered communication, is what I'm saying, at a young age. And today we have the luxury, the blessing, or the curse, per se, of being able to, what? A phone call comes in and send it to voicemail. Then what a lot of people do is this. You listen to the voicemail. And then how do you respond? How do you respond? With your thumbs. Yo, bro, what's up? Right? Because what are we doing? We're staying in control of the conversation. We're staying in control of the moment. You don't have to talk and not know where the conversation is going. Like, it provokes anxiety in us sometimes. Like, we've become nervous to talk and we don't know what we're going to say even. And dear God, what they might say too, right? It's actually unsettling for a lot of us. The filter is now on, and the more filtered our lives become, the more difficult it is for us to be authentic. And guess what? The reality is this is not just a modern day problem, because that's where we might be going. We might be thinking here. This has actually been the problem since the very beginning of time. In fact, if you want to follow along, you can open up your Bibles if you have them with you. If you don't, it'll be on the screen for you in a few moments. Your smartphone, Bible app, whatever you might have, paper Bible. Open up to 2 Corinthians 3. We're going to go in there in just a moment. And we're going to look at where the early first century church planter Paul refers back to a story from the historical Old Testament in Exodus 34. Paul's talking about this in 2 Corinthians. Paul's talking about when Moses ascended to the top of Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments from God, and after 40 days and 40 nights with God, he came down from the mountain, and his face, like this is really cool, was actually glowing. Like he had a real glow up going on, right? The glory of God was on his face. His face is glowing. Like probably more than a sweating face like mine, right? I'm sure. And so Moses, after his whole glow up experience, what does he do? He puts on a veil. And I thought in the past when I would read through this, I would say, well, he did it to protect the people from seeing the glory of God. But if you look at the text more closely, he actually talked to the people first. And then he later put on the veil. Paul implies that he did not put on the veil to protect people from seeing the glory, but that he put on the veil to keep them from seeing that the glory was actually starting to fade away. Moses was living a filtered life. He actually talked to the people first. So let's look in 2 Corinthians 3 and 13 to 18. We're going to read a big chunk, and then we're going to come back and look at a few verses from this. Let me give you the context and then we'll read it. Paul was actually showing the Corinthians how much greater the new covenant was than the old covenant. And here's what he said. He says in verse 13, we are not like Moses who put a veil over his face. Watch this. To prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Just as the old covenant was passing away, so the glory was fading from Moses' face. And we can assume from one of the reasons he put on the veil was to keep them from seeing the glory was fading away. But verse 14, he says, but their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Verse 15, even to this day, Paul said, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. So what is he saying? He's saying basically, whenever the old covenant is read in the synagogues, the unbelieving Jewish people cannot see the truth because they are blinded from seeing and experiencing the truth. Paul said this later on in 2 Corinthians 4:4. I don't have this one for you on the screen, but 2 Corinthians 4:4, he said, the God of this world, little g God, meaning our spiritual enemy actually, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the truth. The veil is covering their eyes from seeing the truth of who Christ is in the new covenant. Back to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 3. I have this for you as well. Continuing on. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, this is good news. We have another slide for you, Drew, I think. The veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let me read that again. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, this is good news. The veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Verse 18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with everlasting glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Unveiled in unfiltered living. The problem is most of us are still wearing a veil. Like we've learned and have become so skilled at how to filter our lives to show people the me that I want them to see. And Paul implies that this is what Moses was doing. Like Moses was covering the fact that the glory is fading away. And he wanted to still seem really spiritual, I guess. And he puts on a veil so they wouldn't see. He lived a filtered life and veiled himself. The challenge for us that by nature we do this. We are proudful by nature. We are insecure when we don't feel good about ourselves when we sin. Rather than confessing our sins as a first response, what do? We hide. We put filters on, a false front presenting a lie. And we tend to put a veil on to filter our lives so no one can see the real me. And all the way back to Genesis, the beginning, the book of beginnings, Adam and Eve, you might remember their names, they sinned against God. And they could have said, God, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I know you told us not to eat of that tree, and I was so disobedient. Please forgive me. No, they didn't say that, as you might remember. Otherwise, we might not be in this pickle today called sin. Right? The Bible says that they were ashamed because they were naked, and they were afraid. So what did they do? They hid. But not only did they hid, they put on some fig leaves, right? Covered up their nakedness. which is a picture of the veil, a picture of the filtered living. God, I don't want you to see the real me. And we all do this, by the way. So no one's off the hook tonight. Whether it be on social media or in our daily living in other ways, we put on filters, we put on veils, we put on fig leaves, false fronts, because why? I only want your approval. Because I'm addicted to approval, right? I'm addicted to affirmation. I don't want to confront the nakedness within my life. The real me, it's so awkward. And I feel shame when I do that. In fact, only Christ can take away this veil, friends. Listen to me. The good news is I'm finding significant spiritual victory in my own life from the bondage of requiring the approval of other people. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit in me. By the power and the grace of God, I am growing in freedom. And by the way, freedom is a journey, not a destination. Like you've never arrived. And you're like, oh, come on. Right, freedom's a journey. It's one step at a time. There's always something I can grow in freedom in my life. And that's the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in me, doing that work in me. It's so beautiful, right? So Christ can take away this veil. So what do? We take a step. You aren't on a journey if you keep going in circles around these things in your life, right? That's not a journey. That's around the mountain again. And you take 40 years instead of 40 days, like Moses and his people, to journey through this land. But we keep doing circles, and you haven't arrived. You won't have it all figured out, by the way. You will never be perfect on this side of time and eternity. So what do? We take a step. We own the responsibility to take a step towards Jesus and towards the freedom, to find freedom from the things that are sucking the life out of me and every relationship that I'm in. This is freedom in Christ Jesus. Here's the big question, friends. I got a slide for you. What veil are you wearing? What veil are you wearing? What image of yourself are you trying to portray in your life that maybe isn't really you? Social media or not, all that aside, if you're over 35 and don't social media. But what image of yourself are you trying to portray in your life that maybe just really isn't you? Maybe you're that really spiritual guy or girl on social media showing that I'm doing a devotion with my cup of coffee and my Bible, my big Bible, right? The KJV family Bible size even, right? Open up on the table and I take a picture just right, you know, when in reality, oh, right, I forget. I have to caption that first. Like, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it. Great, I love it. When in reality, in the back of your mind, there's this ongoing secret sin that you still haven't confessed to anybody, and it's haunting you. It's making you a little stir crazy, and you inwardly feel shame and insecurity in your relationship with God. But hey, I'm portraying that I'm spiritual on my Facebook post. Or maybe you might, maybe the got it together mom. Hey, my picture of baked goods with my kids, me and my kids at soccer practice, whatever it might be, matching lunch boxes on their hashtag first day back to school. Woo! Right? When in reality, you're feeling guilty because you are overwhelmed, anxious, overworked, and you feel like you don't have any close friends, and I don't have a life, and I don't feel like I'm a very good mother at all, but here it is, good, got it together, mom, on social media. Or maybe in front of your friends too, right? If you're not on social media. The me that I want them to see. Maybe you might be the dad at the park. Here's me, selfie with my kid, pushing them on the swing. I'm a good dad. I am. When in reality, like, you feel like your marriage is a failure. You feel like you're a quitter in your career. And I was actually short with my kids this morning, trying to get them to school out the door. I'm not always actually engaging with them. And I'm working too much. And even though I'm with them, pushing them on the swing, I can't stop thinking about last night's fight with my wife. And my mind is elsewhere. And I spent the night on the couch. And here's the dad I want you to see. In the gym, right? Protein shake, getting in shape. Truth is, last night I emptied an entire bag of chips like Ariana portrayed as I ate my feelings. That was last week's gym post, but I posted it pretending I'm there at the gym today. But I'm eating my feelings. It's okay. We've all been there. Like I said, no one's off the hook tonight, whatever your story might be. Maybe it's happy anniversary to us. Look it. Woo! Happy forever. Kiss, kiss. duck lips. In reality, we can hardly stand being in the same room with each other. And like I said, you've been on the couch for the last 4 nights. But here's the me I want you to see. I know this is real talk. You know what? Pastor Chris doesn't have it all figured out either, by the way. And doesn't share everything on social media either. And yes, I absolutely want to live my life with absolute authenticity and with honesty. And here's the big question. Do I always? No. Yes, there are days that I'm super pumped to do what I want to do and show up to preach a message. And I'm excited about what God is doing in the lives of people. And then there are days that I'm grumpy. Just ask my kids. And there's days I'm disappointed. Days when I show up to preach and I'm tired. And I'm not even sure if this is even going to make sense today, God. Or it's a long weekend and half my church is at the lake lighting up a barbecue, taking selfies with marshmallows. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll be the only spiritual one here and doing church by myself then. Someone's got to keep church open, right? Bottom line is everything that we say must be true, yet everything true does not have to be shared, let alone on social media. Oversharing sometimes. Everyone doesn't need to see a play-by-play of my life, nor of my feelings about everybody else in my life. Social media is not, I know I'm talking real tonight about social media in some ways, in a place where, social media is not the place where you always, always, always remove the veil. But if you don't remove the veil in your face-to-face relationships, you're always going to be longing for something so much deeper. You're always going to be longing for something so much more. So what do? Well, we put on the veil. We post something on social media and we wait, ding, for positive affirmation to come. Do you like me? Do you like my post? Can you affirm me? Do you like the part of me I want you to see? And yet we still feel empty on the inside because we're not being totally honest and real with anybody and vulnerable in the way that God wants us to be. And so the veil stays on. Verse 15, this is what Paul says, if we can go back to that scripture. He says, even to this day when Moses has read, what happens? Let's all say it aloud. Even to this day when Moses has read, everybody, a veil covers their hearts. A veil covers their hearts. And don't miss this if you're taking notes tonight. A veil that first covers the face eventually covers the heart. I think I have that for you too, so you can write that down. A veil that first covers the face eventually covers the heart. I know I'm preaching good. I don't know how you guys are standing it, but I think I'm starting to glow here even. Come on. A veil that first covers the face eventually will cover your heart. Drew, do we have that on a slide? I think we do. You see, what starts out as a superficial covering became a spiritual condition. A superficial covering. What I'm putting out there becomes a heart condition for me. And now today we have a generation that has been so conditioned to filter everything that now they do not know how to open up. I've talked to and counseled so many, and I'm asking you today, is there anybody that knows the real you, friends? Is there anybody that knows the real you? Because it's necessary. It's vital to your growth and development, your spiritual health. Is there anybody that you share the deepest parts of your heart with? Something you can trust? Well, why not? You don't really know how to open up. That's why not. So let's go deeper then. Here's the key. If I really show others who I really am, I'm scared to death that they won't like me. They won't appreciate me. They won't want to be with me or be a friend. A veil that first covers the face eventually covers the heart. And this is not just a 20-something-year-old problem, friends, because there are those of you much older than 20 or 35, and you know it's been a problem in your life as well. How are you doing? Oh, we're fine. How's your marriage? Oh, it's fine. It's great. How are you doing in your relationship with God? Oh, so good. It's going great, really great. And the reality is there are so many parts of you that you have that have not shared in maybe decades of your life. You haven't shared with somebody else. Confessed, and you've got this veil on, and we're playing the part. We're playing the role. We're play acting. What is that? Jesus would call it hypocrisy. The veil that covers the face eventually covers the heart, friends. And some people are so used to showing our fake selves that we don't even know who our real self is anymore. Because I'm this person for that group of people, and this person for that group of people, and for that, this thing, and that group of people over there. And suddenly we're just living for likes and approval and affirmation. Do you like me? Do you like the me that I'm showing you? Do you think my kids are good enough? Do you think we look like a happy couple? Do you like my new haircut? Do you respect my position in society? And all this time we're living for likes and we're still longing for love. We're still living for likes and longing for love, because until we show who we really are, friends, and until we know and are fully known, we're always going to be longing for something more. And all this time we're living for likes and longing for love. What's the problem? When we're always filtered, when we're always showing our best side, we may impress people, some, right? They might be slightly impressed. But guess what? We're not actually really connecting at a deeper level. And the difference is this, don't miss this, we connect with people through our weaknesses. Did you know that? That we actually connect at a deeper level with other people through our weaknesses. We may impress them with our strengths. Say, look, woo, look at me, I've got this. But we connect with the other through our weaknesses. And you've done this before. You've met somebody and you're like, they're so perfect. I can't stand them. They're so perfect. God, I hate them. Right? And you snooze them on Facebook. I can't believe their life is so perfect. But then you get to know them somehow and you realize, oh, wait, they struggle here with the same issues that I struggle with. And oh, there too, I see you, the real you. And oh, I like them, right? Why? Because we're weird this way. We connect with people's weakness and through their weaknesses. So often we're trying to impress the world with, hey, here's the me that I want you to see. I'm so strong, I'm so smart, I'm so spiritual. And yet we're longing for something more, because we may impress people with our strengths, but we connect through them. Through our weaknesses, connect with them. So as long as the veil starts on the face, eventually it will cover your heart. So what do we do now? What do we do now, PC? We've got literally a generation that's being trained on filtering their images. Image management. Here's the me I want you to see. And at this point, normally what I would do is give you some really practical suggestions in my counseling session. Right? Like, try to be yourself. It's good advice. Don't use a filter every time. Good advice. Try not to care what people think. Good advice too, probably, right? But more than just good advice, what I want to do is I want to give you godly advice. And that is, and do not miss this, here's the whole message. This is why we hear from here to hear from God's word today, by the way. Only Christ can remove the veil in your life. Only Christ can remove it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:16. But, I love big buts in scripture, by the way. But when everyone around does what? I need everybody to help me here, right? When everyone around does what? When everyone turns to the Lord, what happens then? I'm anxious. The veil is taken away. When everyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Whenever you turn to the Lord in your life, there are some of you, you are here for this moment because you've been turning to everybody else and everything else for affirmation in your life. And God's like, hey, woo, right? And you still don't have it. You're still not feeling the affirmation. You still don't feel like you've got it all figured out. But when you turn to the Lord, you don't even have to remove the veil, because he does it for you. When you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and suddenly you're not getting your approval from their likes, but you're getting it from his love. Oh, that's so good. I hope there's an aim. You are no longer living for the approval of people. I just got freedom there. One more step tonight. but you're living from the approval of God. Let me read that. You're no longer living for the approval of people, friends, but you're living from the approval of God. Wow, that's significant. Praise break right there. Woo! You recognize that I am acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christ is sufficient all in all. Here, I got another slide for you. When I realize he is all that I have, when I realize that he is all that I have, suddenly I realize that he is all I need. And I don't need approval from someone else any longer, because I've got approval from him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and my Creator, my God. So he's approving me. Dwelling within me is actually the same spirit that raised Christ from the grave. And my identity is not how many followers I have. My identity is who I am following, friends. And I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have no need of a veil. The veil can be taken away. We're talking about living filtered lives. But you can be delivered from this urge to live filtered life. And you can live authentically in Christ Jesus, because he is all you need. When I realize he is all that I have, suddenly I realize he is all I need. And verse 17 says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is. Let me finish that scripture, that passage. And let me tell you right now, the Spirit of God is here in this room. Can you sense him tonight? Where the Spirit of the Lord, what is there? Say it with me. There is freedom. You Braveheart fans. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, what is there? There is freedom. Come on, church, be the church. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who, watch this beauty of this, with unveiled faces, this is who I am, acne and warts and all. This is who I really am when I show you with unveiled faces. Now it says we, not me. You're not alone in this, but we, because life is always better together, by the way. If you're not in a city group, doing life with other people, I encourage you, jump on in. Life is better together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who watch the beauty of this with unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory. Because it's not about me. It's not about selfie-centered world, right? I exist to give him glory, and we contemplate the Lord's glory. How do we get unveiled faces? When you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and we with unveiled faces are being transformed into the image of Christ, not for the approval of people, but for the glory of God. Because we are not called to elevate self, but to die to self and follow Jesus. To give him glory in all that we do. And that's how we follow Jesus in a selfie-centered world. It's time, friends, all around the room, heads bowed, eyes closed. It's time to turn to the Lord. And I want to pray for you tonight. Father, we pray today that your presence would give us the power to turn to you. And I want to invite our host up. Father, we pray today for your presence. We've sung about your presence. We've sang to you. We've worshiped you. We've learned about you. And as you are reflecting in prayer in this moment, many of you...